Let me start off by saying a very simple thank you. Thank you for your service to the children of this state. I know that many of you are in it for the pay. Isn't it amazing that one of the most difficult jobs in the Commonwealth is an entirely voluntary one? But yours is a difficult job, and it is a voluntary one, and that says even more about you in terms of your willingness to serve our children and to serve all the people of Kentucky. You know, I just came. I'm a little late, and I apologize for it, but I found out about 2 days ago. You know, my schedule gets set several days in advance usually, and I found out about 2 days ago that the 21-23rd Transportation Company, a National Guard unit out of Richmond, Kentucky, a unit that has been in Afghanistan for a number of months now, was going to be able to come home today. And when I found that out, they've had a particularly tough time. They executed over 150 convoy operations, taking equipment and supplies in Afghanistan over all of those roads to some of the most remote outposts to where our soldiers were helping to defend our freedom. They engaged the enemy some 41 times directly during the months that they were there. Several of their members received Purple Hearts, and others are up for Purple Hearts right now. Fortunately, none of them lost their lives. But they were able to come home today, and I wanted to be there to say thank you personally from all of you and for the rest of us in this Commonwealth for the service that they are rendering to us and to this country. I wish you would give them a round of applause. You know, little did I realize some 3 years ago when I was running for governor of the Commonwealth that one of my main jobs during this first term would be to lead Kentucky through one, well, really the most difficult financial time that any of us have ever lived through. You know, this job of being governor, it's pretty difficult. The only thing I can remember I've done more difficult than that was to help James Lee Stevens graduate from high school. Are you here, James Lee? I thought so. Of course, there was a person that had even a more difficult job than me, and that was Kay Aaron at that time, who was a classmate of ours. James Lee married her so that she could get him through Murray State University. But now he's serving the Commonwealth down in Hopkins County, which is my home county. And I appreciate him, and I appreciate all of you all very much, as I said, for what you do. I don't really have to tell you what we've been through for 3 years because you've been right there on the front lines with me. You know. You know what a difficult time that we've had. And, you know, we've had to handle it like the rest of Kentucky's families have handled it, as they sit around every night at the kitchen table and try to figure out how to budget the money we have, how to pay the mortgage, how to have enough money to put food on the table, to buy the clothes that they all need, to send their kids to school. They've had to tighten their belts, and they've had to do a lot more with a lot less. And we have had to do the same. You know, on a state level, I know you're well aware, we have balanced our budget 8 times in the last 3 years. Usually a governor has that opportunity twice in 4 years. I've had to cut over $1 billion in spending out of our budget in the last 3 years. We have reduced the size of the state government workforce to the smallest that it has been in about 20 years. During the course of all of those budget cuts, we had to reduce the budgets of some of our state agencies by as much as 30%. When we needed another $24 million in order to balance the budget, I had a decision to make, another decision to make. And that was to either furlough our state workers for 6 unpaid days during the 2-year biennium, or permanently lay off 415 state workers. Well, honestly, that decision was a pretty easy one for me, because those 415 folks were doing essential services and we needed them. And I felt like that instead of taking that route, that we as a body there at state government could do 6 furlough days, and so we're doing them. I'm taking 6 unpaid days over the next 2 years along with them. In addition, I've voluntarily cut my salary 10% over the last 2 years and again this year. Why are we doing all of that? We're doing it for the people that you're serving, and that's the kids of this state. Because while we've cut $1 billion, we made you, meaning the children of this state, the top priority for Kentucky. I got a lot of advice the first time I was faced with cutting the budget, and every time since then. And that advice was, Governor, just cut across the board. You know, if it takes 5% from everybody, just cut everybody. That's the fair thing to do. Well, I said, no, that's the easy thing to do. But quite honestly, I felt like, and I got the legislature to agree with me, and I think most people in Kentucky agree with me, that while a lot of the things we do at state government are important, there are some things more important than others. And the most important thing in my mind is the education of Kentucky's children. That is the best long-term investment of a dollar that we can make. And I know you agree with me on that. And so, because we set that priority, you haven't gotten 30% cuts. Now, you've been hurt. I don't pretend that we haven't taken a dime out of anything to do with education, because you know we have. But we have held fast to that belief that education is the top priority, and therefore we need to make sure we're funding our classroom teaching and making sure that we don't go significantly backward in educating our kids during this difficult time. And I'm proud to say that we haven't. I know it's been tough on you, and you've had to make tough decisions. You've had to make some cuts here and there, around the edges, because of what we've had to do at the state level. But when you look at where we are today, and you compare ourselves with what's happened in a number of other states around this country, I think you'll tell and see the difference pretty quickly. Just last May, New Jersey laid off 3,000 teachers. Virginia has cut $700 million from K-12 education for the current biennium. Georgia cut education by $403 million in fiscal year 11 alone. Other states have had to make draconian cuts to higher education, to student financial aid, to other education-related programs. In Kentucky, we have been able to avoid those kinds of drastic things. And I'm proud of that, but you know what? The only way we could have done that is by you working with us. And you did. And you have. And you are. Because obviously we're not out of this yet, although we're beginning to come out of it. But because we work together, and because we all realize what the most important thing is in this state, the education of our kids. We have been able to maintain that priority. We quite honestly said, that's the last place we're going, even in this worst recession of our lifetimes. And I'm glad to say that so far, we're getting through this. And we're getting through it in pretty darn good shape compared with everybody else. And I'm proud to say this also. We've been able to do this without any broad-based tax increases. Some 20 other states or more have raised their taxes in order to help balance their budgets. To me, that is exactly the wrong thing to do right in the middle of a recession. Our families don't need any more burdens on them right now as they struggle to get through this. Our businesses don't need any more burdens on them as they struggle to get through this. And so I set that as a goal. We're not going to raise our taxes, but somehow we're going to get through this with education as a priority and without seriously damaging the education of our kids. As I say, we have come through this, and because of that, we are in better position than most every other state in this country as we now are beginning to see the light at the end of the tunnel. At the same time, and this is what is so exciting to me, and this is what makes me feel so good about what you and I have done together, education in Kentucky has made some tremendous strides, even in the most difficult of economic times. I'm talking about things like, you saw Education Week's report come out, their 2011 Quality Count report. They rank Kentucky 19th in education out of 50 states. Folks, a decade ago, there's not a soul in this room who would have thought that was attainable. But Kentucky's now 19th in the country. We have come a long way. I'm also talking about other national reports, and that's the good thing about this. This is not me telling you this. This is not you trying to convince me of this. These are outside national groups looking at every state in this country and applying objective measurements to say how folks are doing. The National Assessment of Education Progress put out what they call the nation's report card recently. I don't know about you, but I think the fact that Kentucky's fourth and eighth graders outperform the national average in science is something to celebrate. We have come a long way. Also something to celebrate is the fact that Kentucky was the only state in the entire country to improve both fourth and eighth grade scores in reading between 2007 and 2009. At the same time, our high schools are sending more folks to college. Fewer of those students are needing remedial help, and consequently, more of those students are graduating. I give the credit for this where the credit belongs, and that is not only on the students, and I give them credit, certainly, but on the strong leadership that we have in education at all levels. I'm talking about our teachers in the classrooms, our principals, our superintendents, our board members, such as you here, our university presidents, everybody involved in this process. Folks, we have in this state right now the highest quality of leadership all across every level of education that we've ever had in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. And it shows. It shows the dedication that you and other leaders in education have shows, and it is producing the results that we need. But we can't be satisfied. We can't be satisfied because, honestly, we're still not where all of us really want us to be. We've still got a lot of work to do. I'm the first one to tell you, I don't have all the answers, and I don't think there's any magic bullet out here that's going to fix everything. But I think one thing that we could do during this legislation session that would make a big difference for education in Kentucky is raising the mandatory school attendance age to 18 years of age. Our youth need more education, not less education. We need them to stay in school and not drop out of school. Their economic security depends on it. I mean, we can talk all day long about what it would be for them personally, each one of them. And that's extremely important. It's their lives. But when you look at it from a macro standpoint, from a statewide standpoint, not only does their economic security depend on it, our economic security depends on it. You've seen these statistics. You know what I'm talking about. A student who drops out of high school in Kentucky will earn about $7,000 less a year than a student that gets a high school diploma. Now, if you go on to the college level and graduate, of course, that gap gets even bigger. Over a career, it amounts to about $1 million difference. Think about, we have about 6,000 or 6,500 kids right now that are dropping out of school every year in Kentucky. Think if we could only get half of them to finish, to graduate from high school, and then some of them to go on and get some other skills or go to college and graduate. Think of what that would do not only for each one of those children. Think of what it would do for the Commonwealth of Kentucky. Think of the economic impact that would have on the Commonwealth for years and years to come. On the other side of that picture, think of what it's costing us right now for not addressing this problem. You know those statistics well, too. Our dropouts are much more likely to end up on our welfare rolls. They're more likely to end up in prison. They're more likely to end up with us paying even more tax dollars to take care of them in one way or the other. That's why it's really incomprehensible to me that some of our leaders just stand by passively while another group of kids and then another group of kids and then another group of kids pass on through and drop on out, and we lose. We lose them, and our state loses. Now, this is House Bill 225, and I know there are some of you that have concerns about it, and I understand that. But that's why this version, and I think it does address those concerns. It phases this in over a 4 to 5 year period. It won't even go to 17 years of age until 2015 and 18 in 2016. It gives us plenty of time to make sure that we have the alternative programs and the alternative career paths in place in all of our schools to handle these kids. I hear some say, well, you're just going to leave those kids in the classroom, they're going to disrupt everything. No, we're not. I don't want to do that. Nobody wants to do that. And if I thought that's what we would do, I wouldn't be for the bill. We're not going to have that. I know teachers can't handle that kind of situation because they need to teach the kids that want to be in that particular classroom. But folks, we can work with these children. We can work with these children and many of them by getting them in alternative pathways and alternative career paths can become successful adults. And we're going to have time under this bill to phase all of this in. A lot of schools already have these kind of programs, and you know it. Many of you out here have them. I think over in Richmond and Scott County, Warren County, Anderson County, Jessamine County, Davis County, many other school systems already have these programs. But we'll make sure that before this thing kicks in, that everyone has those kinds of alternatives. So I hope that you will add your voice, and many of you already have, to support of this bill. Because while it's not a magic bullet, and it's not going to solve all of our problems, it will give us a start on that particular problem. We need to send a strong message to our parents and to our students all across this state that education is important and that you need to finish school if you're going to be successful. Now, you know, we're attacking several of our problems in education in a number of different ways, and some in a larger way. Early childhood education and development is extremely important to me, and I know it's extremely important to you, and you know, and I know, that investing at that stage of a child's life will pay off for us for years and years to come. While we haven't had any extra money laying around to expand those efforts, what we have been able to do is bring the public and private sector together, your school systems, Head Start, the private sector of daycare and of child development centers. And they all came together in a task force that I set up. And you know what? They found they liked each other. They actually talked to each other. And they began working with each other. And they have come up with a definition of kindergarten readiness. They want to push forward a common thought and a common definition of what a child needs to be able to do in order to be ready for kindergarten. Folks, that's a significant step in and of itself. If we can just get everybody thinking along the same lines and working to develop our children at that early age to where they have sort of the same readiness to go into kindergarten, then our school systems are going to have a lot more successful students as they move through our system. Your teachers out there will tell you that an unhealthy child in school is not going to do very well. And so we have tried to look at a child in a holistic kind of way, particularly at the early stages of life. And we've tried to attack the many health problems we have at that level, as well as getting kids educationally ready for kindergarten. When I came into office, I guess the good news was that I found we had about 52,000 children in low-income families who were in what we call the K-CHIP program or the Medicaid program, which provides health care insurance for those kids. And so they had that available to them. The bad news I found out was that there was estimated to be about 67,000 more kids in Kentucky who were eligible for those programs, but just weren't in them for one reason or another. So we set out and organized a program, and we asked the private sector, we asked the nonprofit sector, we got United Way, we got your school systems, we got a whole lot of folks all across this state to come together in a concerted effort, and we're finding those kids and getting them enrolled in those programs. To date, we have another 52,000 children that qualify those programs and are enrolled. And because of that, those 52,000 kids are going to have a lot better shot at being successful in school, because if they're healthy, then they'll have a better chance to learn. Many of you know about the Transforming Education in Kentucky Task Force initiative that I put together several months ago. They're about to come out with their recommendations, and I'm sure that it's going to include knitting together all of the various efforts that we're putting in at different levels of education into a seamless fabric and to bring some new energy and a new vitality and interest from the communities all across this state in education. I know you're interested in education because you volunteer and you step up. But you know that in many of your communities, it's hard to get that interest from folks that aren't connected with the education system. And we want to find ways to rekindle that interest, to make education the top priority not only for you and for me and for others involved in education, but make it the top priority for every citizen of this state. If we can make some progress on that, then education will move forward even faster in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. The graduation bill, as I call it, has passed out of a House committee, and it's getting ready to be voted on in the House next week. and I am confident it will pass overwhelmingly with a bipartisan vote. It did last session. And then it will head to the Senate. And I am confident that if it gets on the Senate floor, that it will pass by an overwhelming vote and a bipartisan vote. And so I ask you to urge the Senate, when it gets there, to let that bill come to a vote and let's pass it and let's get it into law so that we can get on with that part of the problems that we're directing and that we're facing. Now, I want to talk about an issue that I'm sure is on some of your minds, and I want to tell you my thoughts on it, and that is the recent announcement by the Department of Education that we got more students than we thought we had. This has happened once before. I think it was in 2005. You know, this process that we go through every budget year is that the Department of Education and the Budget Office get together and they project and they estimate the number of students that we will have over the next 2 years, and then that's the way you develop the amount of money to put in your SEEK formula. There have been years when there have been less students than estimated. Lucky for us, this year we found out there are more. As I say, it's happened once before that it's been more that we know of, and that I believe was in 2005. But because the number of students are going to be more than what has been budgeted, as you all know, you got notified that the state funding for SEEK was short because of that. As you well know, we haven't cut the funds for SEEK, but because those total funds aren't sufficient to cover the increased numbers of students that they expect, then that is not sufficient money to fully fund the per pupil guarantee. Fortunately, we got some education jobs money from the federal government not too long ago, about $133.6 million. Now, the shortage on the SEEK situation is $49.6 million statewide. It's obviously broken down into each one of your districts. That's $49.6 million in this fiscal year, $28.7 million in the next fiscal year. However, as I said, fortunately, we got this education jobs money, and that's $133.6 million. And when we got that money, I made the decision to disperse it out to you through the SEEK formula so that you would get the money in the same relationship as you get SEEK money in your school districts. Now, I know that you'd rather spend that money some other way, and I would too. But that really is money that came from the federal government for just the kinds of things that we're now facing. Other states actually took that money and just were able to buttress up some of the stuff that they had cut before. We fortunately at the time, not knowing that the number of students would increase, had already solved that problem by making the priorities that we had made and cutting other folks about 30% or 25% or whatever we did. And so we do have sufficient money out there for this. As I say, I know that you would rather spend it on some other things, and I mean some other good things. Don't get me wrong. I know that you're not out there thinking about wasting this money anyplace else. But we're still in that process of having to make tough choices. And so at least, thank goodness, we have sufficient funds to fully fund the SEEK formula for the next 2 years. This won't be a budget session, as you well know. We passed a budget for a two-year period. I had to call them in twice to do it, but we got it done. And, you know, this session is not designed to open up the budget. And so we won't be addressing budget issues until next January for the next two fiscal years. So I wanted to throw this out to you. I knew you all might have questions about it, and I'll be glad to answer questions about it. You may understand more about it than I do, but that's where we are on that particular issue. Now, let me say to you in conclusion, I know what you've been through. because I've been through it too. I know how tough it's been because it's been tough on me too. And I know the tough choices you've made because I've been having to do the same thing. But you've made the right choices. You've made the right choices in continuing to fund your classroom teaching because you know that that's the most important thing that we do out there. I think I've made the right choices in making you the priority. This economy is beginning to turn around. I'm happy to report that we've got a number of indications that things are finally starting to improve. Our revenues at the state level are beginning to climb. They're a little bit ahead of projections right now, not enough to get too excited about, but they're moving in the right direction. The reason I say don't get too excited is because we built a real tough two-year budget, and we've still got another year to go through. The first year, in addition to all these cuts I've told you about, the legislature directed me to find another $135 million in unspecified efficiencies. Well, I've done that. Next year, in order to keep the budget balanced, I've got to find $167 million of additional unspecified efficiencies. How would you like that job? But we'll do that. We'll do it, and we'll get there. But I can tell you this, we're not going to do it on your backs. You're the folks that are most important to us because of what you do. And we're going to continue to keep that priority. We're going to continue to keep you at the top of our list in terms of moving this state forward. It has been tough. But we're starting, as I say, to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And for the first time, I don't think it's a train coming at us. I think it's actually the light of a new day. And it's going to be a slow climb, but it's going to be a climb. We are going to be going in the right direction. And I'm confident that as we move forward, this next budget session, I don't anticipate we're going to have the pressures on us quite the same way as we have had for the last 3 years. Don't know for sure, but I'm feeling better about that all the time because of the way this economy is moving. We've had a tremendous amount of economic activity in Kentucky in the last 18 months. Jobs are being created. Folks are starting to get back to work. That's a slow climb, but we're starting to do that. And that's something else that we've been pushing hard for the last 3 years. So I ask you to stay the course. I ask you to continue to be the fiscal and fiscally responsive managers that you've had to be. I didn't think I was going to get elected to be a budgeteer, and I'm sure that you didn't think you were going to be a school board member to just have to worry all the time about your budget. But that's been the lot that's been cast for us during this historic recession. I'm looking forward, and I know you're looking forward, to a time in the not-too-distant future when all of us are looking more toward the substance of things yet to come than the realities of what has been past. Thank you all very much for having me.